I have been thinking about this all week. In fact, all the way through the weekend. It was Friday last week, very late in the day, that there was an announcement, and I read about it from the Associated Press. You've probably seen it as well. It's appeared on MSNBC's website and CNN and all the others. I don't know if it's made the television broadcast or not. I'm sure it has. It's made it to their website. It's big news, as big as the last news about Rush Limbaugh when it had to do with his drug addiction. The headline, according to the Associated Press, Limbaugh announces end of 10-year marriage. Just a bit of the story to set the table here. Conservative radio commentator Rush Limbaugh announced Friday, that's last Friday, that he and his wife, Marta, were divorcing. The Limbaughs, quote, mutually decided to end their marriage of 10 years and have, quote, separated pending an amicable resolution, according to a statement released by Limbaugh's publicist. The couple shared a $24 million oceanfront mansion near Palm Beach. Rush Limbaugh often broadcasts his three-hour program from a studio in the Palm Beach area. Spokesman Tony Knight said the matter was personal and declined further comment. This is the third marriage for both Rush, 53, and his wife, 44, who wed on May 27th, 1994. By the way, it was Justice Clarence Thomas who hosted the wedding at his house and also officiated at the wedding. The marriage is coming to an end. This is third marriage, third divorce for Rush Limbaugh. I've got a question for you, and I've been thinking about it all week myself. We've talked before about Rush's moral authority when there was the addiction to drugs and the entrance to rehab and the return to the air after about a month. We asked the question about whether or not this erodes his moral authority, not the message. It would be an illegitimate argument to say, look, there's a flaw in the man's character, ergo his message has flaws in it. We could judge his message separately from his personal character. We're not going to engage in any ad hominem attacks, all right? I'm asking about personal moral authority. That is, your perception of whether or not he has moral authority to speak on moral issues, like the one that comes to mind is gay marriage. In order to speak against gay marriage, it is necessary to speak in favor of traditional marriage. Well, Rush Limbaugh is dissolving his third traditional marriage. Or, as you have listened to Rush lately, having known the news about his impending third divorce, have you noticed him being more silent lately on issues like gay marriage? I mean, that would indicate at least that he perceives he doesn't quite have the feet to stand on to talk about that issue, given his own personal situation. Does it say anything to you about how he treats women? Jennifer Oback Morse mentioned it as I had promoted this Open Lines Hour. In the first hour of that conversation, she mentioned in passing that she thought it had a lot to do with the divorce culture and had to do with, well, on a third marriage, you might wonder how a man is treating women. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that Rush Limbaugh would remarry again for the fourth time. He might find another lady that he's interested in. Have you heard him talk about this on the air at all? I get to listen probably on a daily basis, but for no more than 20 minutes or so. Have you heard him talk about his divorce on the air, or his listeners bring it up? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And probably this is the question that's come back to my mind as often as any other since Friday's announcement of Rush Limbaugh's third divorce. The ability to compartmentalize. I've been listening now with a different ear each midday. And I'm thinking to myself, now I sit here from the perspective of a radio talk show host having to do 3 hours myself in the later afternoon. If I were going through a divorce, would I be able to keep up the pace, keep the topics going, here we are, and compartmentalize that part of my life away from this? Would I be able to do it? Social, moral, religious conservatives were roundly critical of President Bill Clinton for his ability to compartmentalize his personal life from his professional life. Everyone in favor of Clinton in those days made the argument. Do you remember? This is personal. It does not have to do with his professional performance. It does not have to do with his ability to be president of the United States. Many of you disagreed. Can we allow Rush Limbaugh to compartmentalize his life in this way? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Certainly you have some thoughts on Rush Limbaugh's third divorce. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. While we wait for your phone calls, I'd like to tell you about our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's the Concordia Commentary on Leviticus, an interesting commentary, if only for the reason that it delves into the details that will help you understand what does, to many of us, remain a very obscure Old Testament book, the Book of Leviticus. The book is an excellent resource. Commentaries are the kind of things that not only fill you in on the history, the circumstances, the authorship, the particulars of an Old Testament or a New Testament book, but also in this case, as with all of the volumes in the Concordia Commentary series, where is Christ to be found in the book of Leviticus? You can have the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, the Concordia Commentary on Leviticus, by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Call in the next 45 minutes. Or you can browse before you buy. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You'll find the book there for you to check out. You can also visit one of the two locations for Concordia Publishing House. They have bookstores here in the St. Louis area, one at 3558 South Jefferson, the other here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, the Concordia Commentary on Leviticus. It's open lines. Rush Limbaugh's third divorce is the subject. You knew we had to talk about this sooner or later. Maybe this is the first time you've heard about it. It may not have risen to the top level of the news. As far as I can tell, it's true. The Associated Press stories have persisted for one solid week now. There's been no announcement on the air that this is not going to happen. I have not yet heard Rush Limbaugh mention this on the air. Do you think he should? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Does it color how you listen to and how you perceive his moral authority to speak on issues, big issues? Big issues facing the nation today. Gay marriage. Whenever you talk about gay marriage and you speak against gay marriage, it is necessary to speak in favor of, to talk about the virtues of traditional marriage. Here's Rush Limbaugh dissolving his third traditional marriage. One might even wonder, I am waiting for someone to write the op-ed piece. I'm sure it's going to be coming here pretty soon as the news gets out more broadly. So what for traditional marriage when one of the at least among conservatives, paragons of virtue, can't seem to keep a traditional marriage intact. He's dissolving his third. What do you think about this? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. How would you respond to such an op-ed piece if it were to appear in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch? You know, for all the people talking about traditional marriage, here's one that has been an advocate of such things, and he can't seem to keep one or two or even three together. Tony is calling from his car at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Tony, you're up first. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Yeah. First, I want to say I can't see how you're going to even compare Rush Limbaugh with his marriage with gay marriage. I just don't understand it.
No, Tony, hold on a second. Turn down your radio, please, if you would.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That'll make it a little easier for us to talk. I'm not comparing Rush Limbaugh's marriage with gay marriage. I'm saying if he's going to speak out against gay marriage, he's going to be speaking in favor of traditional marriage, but he's dissolving his third traditional marriage through
divorce.
Right,
but the problem is the difference is he's not marrying another man. He's married women, and that's his right whether he wants to keep that marriage going on. And, you know, he's not marrying other men. That's the whole difference. And not only that, he has talked about it. His dissolving his marriage on the radio.
Has he?
Yes, he sure has.
What has he had to say?
He just said that him and his wife were decimating his marriage. And, you know, it's between him. They have no problem with it. He did come on the radio and say it.
Okay, good. Like I said, I hadn't heard him say that. And I was asking if you had heard him say that. Now, here's a couple questions for you, Tony, before I let
sure.
you go. Do you think it reduces his moral authority to speak on moral issues and against things like gay marriage?
No, I sure don't. Why would it? I mean, you're taking his personal life and his political views, and you're mixing the two.
So you don't have a problem with compartmentalizing his personal life from his professional life or his public life?
Well, I mean, to a certain point, but you know what you're saying though is
what point
is that he doesn't have a right to speak his mind just because he's been
no
divorced
no 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 that's
three
that,
times.
That's not what I'm saying, Tony. I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to speak his mind. His right to speak his mind is his. No one can take it away from him. As long as he's got 600 stations, he can use those 600 stations however he sees fit within the bounds of the law. I'm talking about, from your perception, about his moral authority to say, look, folks, I believe in traditional marriage when he's dissolving his third. Do you have any qualms about that?
Well, I mean, that's what he's always said. He still stands behind that. I mean, you know, your traditional marriage, like you're saying, is just between a man and a woman. It's just, you know, the sanctity is depends on the couple itself. Why would you stay in a bad marriage if it's a bad marriage to begin with?
All right, I mean, Tony. Tony, thank you very much. I appreciate it. There's one already. Says, look, this is no problem. No problem at all. Rush can speak for traditional marriage, even while he has, through the course of his career, been divorced 3 times. That has no bearing on, of course it has no bearing on his opinions, because you can be in favor of traditional marriage. I'm talking about moral authority. Now, granted, this is a tenuous thing. This is something, it's a little bit difficult to get a hold of. But we do invest spokespeople like Rush Limbaugh with a certain moral authority. Right? We not only agree with their ideas, we also listen to them because they, in our perception, have a certain gravity to what they say. And at least until recently, it was kind of expected that they would be consistent in that. Oh, here's a good one. Now, you know, President Bill Clinton has never been divorced. Granted, not the model marriage. Oh, and by the way, I think Rush Limbaugh has gotten a lot of airtime and mileage out of making fun of the marriage of the Clintons, which has not ended in divorce. Would any of you be willing to give President Bill Clinton, if he wanted to write a book on marriage? Right? He hasn't been divorced. You say no. I mean, I would expect you to say no. No. He doesn't have the moral authority to speak on that. Same question. Should we conservatives hold ourselves to a higher moral standard than liberals? 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Tony's chimed in. What do the rest of you think? Joe is calling from his car. Joe, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Can I ask you a question first?
Absolutely.
Are you a sinner?
Absolutely.
I don't question your moral authority on anything. In fact, I respect it a great deal and listen to your show as often as I can.
I'm glad you do. You should question my moral authority. Just, you can go with my ideas, but invest absolutely no, invest absolutely no confidence in my personal moral authority. The authority of my ideas comes from God's word and not from me personally.
Well, that's why I listen to you, because I know what you just said to be true.
If I got a divorce, would you? And I said, folks, we're going to have an entire hour on the value of the traditional marriage. We're going to argue against gay marriage. And you knew, although I may have mentioned it on the air in passing, that my marriage was falling apart. Would it affect the way you listen at all?
No, not at all. Not at all. It doesn't change it at all. What you personally do doesn't validate or invalidate truth, is the bottom line. And the same holds true with Rush. In fact, I hope that Rush does not, assuming he does speak against homosexual marriage, and I say homosexual marriage and not gay marriage. Jeff told me that he and Beth have a gay, excessively happy marriage. But I hope he doesn't tone it down if he does, because that will just give credence to his opponent's argument that you cited at the beginning, that, oh, he's engaged in this behavior, therefore he's disqualified from speaking against homosexual marriage. A chance to plug your website and one of your guests, Greg Kokel, in the article that he wrote about arguments against homosexual marriage, he addresses this argument that's tossed out. Well, you know, there's a 50% divorce rate. You know, doesn't that work against traditional marriage? And the same thing would hold true. I think you could use that argument. I don't have the article in front of me, so I can't tell you what he says.
Well,
I read
but again, it. I'm not asking here, Joe, and this is the distinction I tried to make very carefully at the beginning of the hour, apparently need to make it again. I'm not asking whether or not his arguments remain valid, and I'm not asking whether his ideas remain worth listening to. I'm talking about personal moral authority to speak on these issues.
Well, if what we do, well, let me ask you an example that I thought of while I was listening. I lied to my parents when I was growing up as a child. I have kids now. Am I prohibited from teaching them that it's wrong to lie to me as their parent? If my moral authority in that regard is suspect because I engaged in the same behavior, then I just have to let them say or do whatever they want to say or do, and I can't question it.
No, I think the analogy is probably closer if you were in the habit of lying to your children and had been discovered in lies on a regular basis. Would you expect them to take you seriously?
Well, humanly speaking, no, I would not expect them to take me seriously. Would it invalidate what I'm saying about lying?
Right. But that's not the question, because no one is questioning the message. What we're asking about is the moral authority of the messenger.
I understand what you're saying. So humanly speaking, I would say, as humans, it's very difficult for us not to lose some respect, if you will, for someone's moral authority who has engaged in morally questionable behavior. I would think that that's probably going to happen with Rush Limbaugh or with anybody else. I mean, if I knew what kind of sins you committed, I might not listen to you the same as I do now. But humanly speaking, yeah, I think that's how it's going to happen and how it does happen with people all the time.
One more question, Joe, before I let you go. This issue of compartmentalization, we were roundly critical as social and political conservatives of Bill Clinton's claim that he could compartmentalize personal life from professional life and personal life from his ability to lead and articulate ideas for the country. It sounds as though you say, at least in theory, you would like to be able to maintain a compartmentalization there. And that should be something that we'd be able and willing to do between personal and professional life.
I think in theory that could be true, although I think in the case of Clinton, he didn't come out and roundly condemn his own behavior. I mean, there was evasion and justification and excuses and everything else. He didn't come out and say, listen, what I did was horrible and wrong. And that's the critical difference.
Well, I have not yet heard, at least according to the spokesman's statements, that Rush Limbaugh is saying that his divorce is wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he said that. I did hear him mention it on the radio the other day. He gave a clarifying statement to the AP article that you cited. But other than that, I didn't hear him say anything about it. And, you know, maybe if you were sitting down smoking a cigar with him, he might tell you that he wished it wasn't happening. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure he wishes it wasn't happening. I'm sure. I mean, I have never been divorced, but I've seen people go through it, and I've never seen a person who wishes it were happening. They might not want to still be in the marriage, but they don't want to go through that. I'm not asking that we reduce our sympathy for what must be happening in the Limbaugh household one bit. I am asking, trying to keep it focused on this question of moral authority, as someone who is, de facto, by virtue of his position in the marketplace of ideas, a spokesman for a lot of ideas that you agree with. 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. And trying to be consistent here, that what we would fault any liberal commentator for, we would be willing to fault any conservative commentator for. And where we would give the conservative commentator a pass, we would also, in order to be fair, give the liberal commentator a pass. Bill is calling from his car. Bill, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. I listen to Rush not infrequently. I don't consider him a moral authority because I believe he's an agent of the left-hand kingdom, and I respect his political views and find myself in agreement with them. As far as any moral teaching, i.e. religious, I don't think that Rush really has platform on which to speak. Now,
well, it doesn't have to be moral. Does not have to be religious. It can be a civil morals. I mean,
well, no, I say it was religious. I said moral or religious. I respect and listen to Rush for his political conservative views. I'm not interested in what he's doing with his marriage.
Were you interested in what Bill Clinton was doing with his marriage?
Yeah, I was, because I don't like Bill Clinton. I'll be honest. I'll
All right.
With you.
Thank you for being honest, Bill. Thank you. Thank you. That is marvelous. You're being
What's
honest.
Marvelous?
That you're being honest.
Well, I try to be, but I just want to make one more comment.
Yeah.
You asked some of the previous callers, would it affect them listening to you if you were involved in a divorce? Well, let me say this, and maybe I shouldn't mention the preacher's name, but he's a Southern Baptist. He's got a big radio TV ministry. He went through a divorce. I don't care to listen to the guy anymore because I don't think he has any moral grounding on which to stand.
Bill, thank you for the call. And we all know who he's talking about. But now that would be a different issue. And I do not want any confusion brought in here, but I do thank you, Bill, for being honest. When we're talking preachers and those who, by the call of God or by their own personal claim, claim to speak on behalf of God from his word, different. Rush Limbaugh never claims to do that, at least not in any serious way. He does talk about having talent on loan from God, but that is not a claim to speak for God, and he never would. When it comes to preachers, yes, there's a different way of understanding that. Well, I think the scriptural mandate would just disqualify them from being preachers, period. Boom. But it doesn't disqualify you from being a radio talk show host. In the case of Rush Limbaugh. It's not what I'm asking about. I'm not saying should he lose his job or his affiliates or anything like that. I'm asking about your perception of his moral authority. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. James is calling from his car. James, welcome to Issues, etc.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I think that last guy kind of beat me to the punch a little bit. You guys keep throwing around the term moral authority. Well, Rush is an entertainer. You know, just because you sit behind a microphone at a radio station and talk to a lot of people doesn't, and I feel sorry for people that would look to a talk show host for moral guidance, you know. Now, Rush's divorce, that is a relationship between two people, and you would agree that that's a personal relationship, right?
Well, yeah, among other things.
So what could be more personal than a relationship between a person and his God? And I think that someone should really look to themselves at their own, and not someone like Rush Limbaugh to guide them. You know, that's why we have conscience. That's why we have things like that. So as far as Rush Limbaugh being a moral authority, I think he's an entertainer who just happens to speak to more people on a greater scale.
So when,
but it's just his opinions, just like yours or mine. He's an entertainer.
So when Rush says, your guiding light through times of confusion, tumult, tragedy, all those things,
it's hype to make him sound good.
And when he says that he is someone with whom you would trust your teenage daughter, your wife, your neighbor child in a hotel room alone, he says this on the air, hype.
Oh, of course. He,
right.
You know, he says fighting with, what he say, half my brain tied behind his back, you know? Come on. Is he that smart? Is he that much smarter than the rest of us?
I don't know, James. Thank you very much.
I don't know either, but I highly doubt it.
Thank you. Thank you, James. All right, so far, it seems to be trending. I'm just kind of keeping track of this with some variations and with some nuances here. It seems to be trending. Big deal. Big deal. Rush Limbaugh's third divorce, big deal. What do the rest of you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Is it no big deal? Can we compartmentalize? And look, I'm trying to think of this, and I talk about this compartmentalization, trying to put myself in his shoes and say, no matter how rich you are, no matter how well insulated you are, no matter how many resources you have, no matter how big your house, a divorce is disruptive to your entire life. And think of what he's been through in the last year. Drug addiction that's lasted for years, and then trouble with the law, rehab, legal assaults down in Florida, and now a divorce. We'll be right back.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Which of the laws of the Old Testament apply to Christians today, and which do not? More importantly, why don't they? How does a scriptural understanding of Jesus Christ as the fulfiller of the whole law answer these questions? In our Issues, Etc. book of the month for June, you'll find answers to these questions, and you'll discover how Christ speaks in the Old Testament. You can order our Issues, Etc. book of the month for June, the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Leviticus, by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or visit our website, issuesetc.org, and under the What's New section, you'll find information on the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Leviticus. When you call or write, mention Issues, etc. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. A high-powered team of global experts has released a study on the HIV epidemic. The report of the Global HIV Working Group says that prevention and treatment are equally important, but they warn that without prevention, treatment can never keep up. Terry Phillips reports.
The group's recommendation for prevention spans a number of strategies, including the contradictory goals of abstinence and condom use. Linda Klepacki heads up Focus on the Family's effort to promote abstinence outside of marriage. She says the recommendation sends a mixed message.
If you're promoting condoms widely, now what you're really promoting is sexual activity outside of marriage. So you are promoting two completely different ideas here in this report.
Dr. Thomas Fitch of the Medical Institute for Sexual Health points to Uganda's strategy of the last decade as one worth reviewing.
The only program really that's really worked as far as HIV has been a program from Uganda called the ABC program,
which stands for abstinence, being faithful, and condoms. And there's a caveat.
The condom is really, we see it as a small C.
The A and the B is prevention. The C is risk reduction.
The very success in treating HIV and AIDS has badly wounded the prevention component. But there is no cure, and treatment doesn't amount to life as usual.
Their life is really based on taking medication. Their life is based on going to doctors and having multiple infections attack their immune system.
The wisdom is this: abstinence outside of marriage and being faithful in marriage will reduce HIV spread. Condoms are a gamble with severe consequences for losers. For Family News and Focus, I'm Terry Phillips.
As far as treatment strategies being a practical solution for third world countries, it is far too expensive to keep pace with the 5 million new cases of HIV in the world every year. For Family News and Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
On the next midday, Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO. Join Paul Clayton. He'll be talking with Stan Jantz, co-author with Bruce Bickle of Why Jesus Matters. It's on the marks Jesus left on history, culture, science, the arts, and a whole lot more. We'll also talk about cheese with Alan Hotley from Hotley Cheese Company. Living Jubilee begins at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO.
You can dig deep into God's Word with the new Concordia Commentary on Leviticus. It's our Issues, Etc. book of the month for June. You can find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. The cost is $42.99 plus shipping and handling. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org and click the What's New section. The Concordia Commentary on Leviticus.
Mentioned Rush Limbaugh and his three divorces in the intro to this program, because I think we put ourselves on very, very faulty ground by accepting the divorce revolution so casually, you know.
That's Jennifer Roback Morse. She was with us in the first hour of Issues, Etc., and she had mentioned there in passing how casually we take what she called the divorce revolution. I wonder, because so far we've been talking about Rush Limbaugh's third divorce and whether or not it diminishes, in your eyes, his moral authority to speak on moral issues as a spokesman for conservative thought, both political and moral. I mean, there are morals involved here. It's not explicitly religious. It is civil morality, right? I mean, that's what laws are intended to do, reinforce civil morality. It's open lines. I'd like your thoughts on this as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jennifer Roback Morse, by the way, is a conservative with the Hoover Institute. I wonder whether or not, and I've heard this from the callers so far, not all of them, but I wonder whether or not it's reflective of a willingness to accept divorce as, you know, just another personal choice. Doesn't, no skin off my teeth. Maybe not the choice I'd make, but in the end, no big deal. We did have a caller before the break who talked about Rush Limbaugh being just an entertainer. I do remember the day, maybe you do too, when that used to be the argument that was made against Rush by his opponents, his political opponents. Come on, we can't take him seriously. He's just an entertainer. And people really got their hackles up about that. No, he's not just an entertainer. He's serious about what he's talking about. But apparently when it suits us, we're willing to use that. Well, come on, he's just an entertainer. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In the third hour of Issues, Etc., Dr. Ben Witherington will join us to talk about the Gnostic Gospels. Joanna's on the phone calling from her car. Hi, Joanna. Thank you for waiting.
Actually, it's Selena. And I hope I'm not going to lose you. I just got a on my cell phone. Are you still there?
Yeah. Is it Celine, okay. You say?
Selena.
All right, good. Thank you.
That's okay. I was just saying, how can you be a moral authority when you preach, do what I say, not what I do? I mean, you can't teach children that way.
So you're saying, is that what it appears to you Rush Limbaugh is doing? Do what I say, not what I do?
Right, to a certain extent. I mean, you have to show your Christianity to a certain extent, and if you aren't showing it, then it's not very deep, I think. That's hard.
Selena, thank you for the call. Now, I don't know that Rush is making any effort to show us his Christianity, because that is not here on the table for discussion. I do not know his status as a Christian or a non-Christian. But I understand, though, what she's trying to say here. To practice what you preach, or when you say, this is what marriage ought to be, it's not as though Rush has hidden his first two divorces. He's very open about his previous life. But here comes number three. One of the things I wondered and have been listening very carefully for, hadn't really had the occasion to get much information on it, so little as I do listen, just given my schedule, has it silenced him on moral issues since the news came out, like gay marriage? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Jeff is calling from Maryland Heights. Jeff, welcome.
Oh, Todd.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I enjoy your program very much.
Thank you.
You know, I was just listening to you talk about Rush Limbaugh, and you know, I think certainly he has a right to a private life, and certainly, as you were saying, by him, you know, getting a divorce, it sort of makes him look a little hypocritical when it comes to talking about gay marriage or the Clintons or anything like that. But if I could digress, the thing that concerns me the most about a divorce like Rush Limbaugh's, or a sports figure, a celebrity, is when you see these divorces, you know, that are publicly aired and there's a big deal made out of them. What does it do, you know, to that sort of grand and noble status that we like to think marriage possesses? I think it, you know, it continues to tarnish the institution of marriage, and that's the thing that bothers me. More than, you know, whether or not it compromises Rush Limbaugh's ability or his legitimacy as a sort of a moral agent on these various issues.
Well, that's very perceptive of you, Jeff, and I'm glad you brought that up. Although, you know, that is not the core of the question we
right.
have asked here.
Right.
It is another legitimate question, and that is, does it tarnish the image of marriage to have one of the spokespersons for conservative and traditional thought, politically and socially in America, to be on his third divorce?
But here,
he wouldn't be the only one, by the way, who's pushing a record on divorces, who purports to speak on issues like this. Yeah,
and just very quickly, and you know, whether it's Rush Limbaugh or it's Tommy Lee and Pamela Lee or any. What I think what happens is you see this divorce, and we hear, you know, frequently the figures that about 50% of all marriages end up in divorce. You know, I think the gay community has, in a sense, kind of a foothold here to, you know, come in and question, well, you know, let's look at the state of heterosexual marriage. What's so bad about, you know, gay marriage? I'm not advocating gay marriage, but I think it just makes their argument look a little more, what, reasonable, perhaps?
Well, at least popularly it probably
right.
would.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
Jeff,
I agree.
Jeff, thank you very much.
Sure, thanks.
Well, think about it this way. I had someone call a little bit earlier saying that Rush Limbaugh was just an entertainer. He's just a celebrity, right? I mean, is that what the callers are saying so far, with the exception of Jeff there and the previous caller, Selena? Come on, he's just a celebrity. And celebrities change wives and husbands as often as they change the style of their shoes. It's just the way celebrities are, and this is what we expect of them. And, of course, we do feel free from time to time to decry what they're doing to marriage when they pair up and then break pairs. And, you know, one minute it's who's married to who. You know, celebrity marriages, if you even passingly notice any of these things, you realize that a celebrity marriage is about as lasting as what? The proverbial snowball in hell, right? Whether it's Ben and J-Lo or whether it's people who seem to have more solid marriages and then suddenly, boom, they're not married anymore. Or maybe they don't even get married. Goldie Hawn and her husband, they don't even get married. They have a stable relationship, probably more stable than some marriages, without the benefit of clergy or any kind of legal recognition. So how many wives does the average male celebrity end up with in the course of his long career? Let's just take Bruce Willis. As far as I know, he's only been married once. But he had a long-term marriage. And then it's done. And I'm disappointed. I think to myself, Bruce, you know, you were the exception to the rule for a while there, weren't you? I know you're a dog, but you were the exception to the rule because you kept that marriage together and then it ends. And now his wife's running around with younger things and he's running around with younger things and everyone's looking at Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston as though they've been married since before time. And when they break up, we're all going to kind of go, oh, well, I'm not surprised. So maybe Rush is just another celebrity. By the way, we are doing a show Sunday night on issues, etc., on Christ-centered fatherhood. We're going to be dealing with some of these issues about, you know, what is a Christ-centered marriage? What is a Christ-centered father? Now, let me ask this question. On that issue of Christ-centered fatherhood, if you found out that I was rough with my kids, that I beat my children, would I have any authority to speak on a Christ-centered fatherhood? Would I be able to do that show in your mind? Nothing that would be illegal, but I believe in corporal punishment, and I don't believe that it's just the hand on the backside. Oh, by the way, we don't spank our kids. That's my wife's decision. But for the sake of argument, would you have a problem with that? I mean, it's my personal life, right? And it does not affect any ideas I would put forward, right? You say no, because beating your children is wrong. Well, last time I checked, so is divorce. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you talk to people in society, if you just poll the average population, they'll say divorce is a malady. It's a social ill, but it's not a sin. There are very few exceptions in Scripture that it isn't a sin. And it always involves sin. Which brings up the question of it being wrong. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Maybe it is, as Jennifer Roback Morse pointed out earlier in today's program, our willingness to accept divorce as just another personal choice, not the one I'd make, but in the end, no big deal. Has Rush Limbaugh's third divorce now reduced his moral authority as far as you're concerned to speak on moral issues like gay marriage? In favor of traditional marriage? Have you noticed him being silent on this issue since his divorce has come up? What about the so-called ability to compartmentalize the personal from the professional? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jennifer Roback Morse also said this might have something to do with the way he treats women. And she said something like, as commercial property. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Okay, so here's the third divorce. Here's the last question. What if he gets married again? It wouldn't be atypical for a celebrity, a well-known person, to marry for the fourth time. Paul is calling from New Melle. Paul, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Do you hear me?
I do.
Okay. I think that Rush Limbaugh's ability to discuss marriage per se is limited because of the fact that here he's into his third divorce. However, I thought we had already established that gay marriage was a misnomer. Marriage is between a man and a woman. So, you know, his ability to address that issue is rather different than traditional marriage, or the only marriage that you and I know of.
Well, has he lost his moral authority to speak on genuine marriage?
Yes, that that I think he has, because I think we share a religious belief concerning marriage. You know, when we were married, it's until death do us part, and we have certain religious convictions. But to make a statement concerning the union of gays and call it marriage, I think he can, you know, genuinely address that issue.
Paul, thank you very much. So it does not, it doesn't seem to affect, I mean, I think in order to speak in favor of traditional marriage, we would all, at least I think Paul would agree, is to speak against everything else that pretends to be marriage, right? Now, so if his moral authority to speak in favor of traditional marriage or on its benefits or to speak about it at all is reduced, doesn't that mean then that also his authority to speak against everything that pretends to be marriage in the place of traditional marriage is also reduced? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What about the rest of you on this? So far, kind of running mixed here on Rush Limbaugh's moral authority in the event of his third divorce. Matthew is on the line. He's calling from his car. Matthew, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor. This is kind of on the same topic. You're asking, does it discredit Rush Limbaugh on certain moral issues? I want to tell you, I really enjoy your show, but I have something a little critical to say, and I don't want to be disrespectful. But something you just said really discredits what I think you say at times. I'm really shocked you just said you don't spank your children and it was your wife's decision, because it just seems to me that totally violates the principle set forth down for the family in the law of God. I mean, the Word of God. I was shocked to hear you say that. I can't...
Does it reduce my moral authority to speak about fatherhood when you hear that?
Yes, sir, on two counts. Number one, that your wife made the decision, and number two, there's something that's so clear in the Word of God, even in the prophecy, and I can't remember exactly where it at. It may be in Psalm 87, I believe, but God told David that he was going to make a covenant with him, and that when his son sinned, he would chasten him with scourge him or something of that nature. And it ultimately refers to Christ. But the very character and nature of God is that justice requires, and I believe love requires, that we discipline our children.
Well, I didn't say I didn't discipline my children.
I know, but it gives the means as well as the time. It's the Bible says so much about
Does Scripture require me to use corporal punishment on my children?
I believe so, because throughout Proverbs, throughout the Bible, for example,
give me a passage that says that earthly fathers are required to use corporal punishment on their children.
Well, when the Bible speaks of the means, the rod and reproof give wisdom. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. I mean, foolishness
Do you have a rod at home?
The child, but the rod shall drive it far from him. It's the rod.
Matt, hold on a second.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a rod at home?
Yes, sir.
You do. You use the rod?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you for the call, Matt. Okay, so I would assume that Matt also believes that Rush Limbaugh's moral authority to speak on matters moral when it comes to marriage is reduced, because mine is reduced, because I'm just being honest with you, folks. I'm just being completely honest with you. I'm not saying I haven't spanked my children. I'm just saying it's a matter of course. We don't. They have been spanked, by the way. More often by their mom than by their dad. To which dad just nods his head and says, there we go. There we go. Well, look, let me just speak to the issue of my wife making the decision. Please. I don't know, maybe my marriage is that much different than anyone else's, but my wife makes a lot of decisions. She has to. My wife makes a lot of decisions, and if any man, husband is honest, he'll admit that theirs does too. Carl is calling from St. Louis. Carl, welcome to Issues, Etc.
How are you, Pastor?
I'm very well.
Good. I'm agreeing sort of with the last person, not the last person, but the other gentleman that called concerning that issue of Rush Limbaugh. I feel and think that if he was talking concerning marriage, he wouldn't have no right, because in order to teach me how to keep my wife, he'd have to be able to keep his. Now, if he's talking about whether you're not, whether gay marriage shouldn't be, he's making an opinion. I don't think that has nothing to do with anything else. I think he had that right to do that.
All right.
To say, hey, this is wrong, or it's okay. I think one has that right to do that. But if he's going to speak on marriage per se, he's got to be able to keep his wife or keep a wife before he can tell me how to keep my wife.
Okay, so if Rush Limbaugh were to say, folks, let me tell you how marriage works,
he would be out of order.
You'd probably say,
he couldn't tell me that.
Right, you'd probably say at that point, well, come on.
I'm right.
All right, Carl, thank you very much.
Okay.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're kind of running mixed on the ideas here, but we're also kind of running mixed on the consistency. I like Carl. I mean, he's trying to be, at the very least, trying to be consistent here, keeping the issue narrowed to whether or not Rush Limbaugh could speak with any moral authority on marriage. But when it comes to gay marriage, he could certainly be of the opinion that this is wrong. Now, there's a difference between being of an opinion that something is wrong and making arguments both against it and in favor of its alternative. Paul was very right in pointing out a little bit earlier that there is really no such thing as gay marriage, because marriage is a term rightly only applied to a man and a woman. He's absolutely right. So, how do you make arguments against things that pretend to be marriage, like quote-unquote gay marriage, without also making arguments in favor of what really is marriage? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Bernard is calling from Litchfield. Bernard, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yes, Todd, our pastor. Welcome. I'm not here to defend Rush Limbaugh by any means, but I have not even heard in the last 15 or 20 minutes, anyway, I may have missed it, that this could be a scriptural divorce.
It certainly could.
I mean, I don't think we've been judging this as it was his fault or that it's unscriptural.
Right. Divorce always involves fault.
Sure.
But, I mean, there is no such thing as no-fault divorce, but except in legal circles.
Right. I agree.
But
there is scriptural divorce.
Let me just see where you stand here, because I think that argument is legitimate if it's consistent with something else. That is, if this were what you would consider an unscriptural divorce, would that affect Russia's moral authority to speak on issues regarding marriage, gay marriage, those kind of things?
If he used it as saying that all divorce is okay, or if he come out and said no divorce is right, then I would say he would probably lose some moral authority. But I don't think I haven't really ever heard Rush talk about divorce, so I don't know what his stand would be on it.
All right. He has spoken on it. I was able to come across a number of things that he had to say about it. Generally, he disparages divorce as a societal ill. Bernard, thank you very much for the call. And I don't think he's ever connected it to his own divorces. And I don't know that he's ever said, look, my divorces aren't a societal ill, whereas everyone else's is. He's never done that. That's not the question. The question is, we're now on number three. We are now on number three. And does it diminish his moral authority as one who listens to him? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Terry is on the line from South County. Hi, Terry.
Good afternoon, Pastor Todd. How are you today?
I'm very well.
I was just calling to chime in my thoughts. If he cannot, help me with my words here, if he cannot talk about moral problems, can anybody talk about moral problems, being sinners?
Well, if the requirement for speaking with moral authority in the public square were that we were sinless, of course, it would be very, very quiet out there, wouldn't it?
Because I would think that now, I'm not saying that Rush cannot, But I think everything that he says now would have to be put in parentheses. I would think he would have to admit that he cannot do that as a pastor would during his sermon prior to that, confessing sins.
Thank you very much, Terry.
Okay.
See, that's why I didn't raise the issue of whether or not this was, that's why I didn't raise the issue per se of whether or not this was a scriptural and unscriptural divorce. But we're talking track record here, and we're talking about someone who has in the past spoken on the issue of both divorce and against gay marriage and in favor of traditional marriage. And it's a question of your perception. And I'll be honest with you, folks, it's also aimed at rooting out what is the niggling inconsistency among Christians, and not only Christians, but social and political conservatives, to give a pass to their own and to not give a pass to people with whom they disagree on these very issues. It's open lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, whether you're liberal, whether you're conservative. These things apply, right? Or should they? We had Bill called earlier, and I commended Bill for his honesty because he said, look, it was different with Bill Clinton because I didn't like Bill Clinton, and I commend him for his honesty. Would that more political and social conservatives were that honest? And they didn't play games like saying, well, you know, it's really irrelevant that Rush Limbaugh is getting his divorced. How many divorces? Three. Come on, let's turn on Rush. It's not irrelevant, is it? Could it possibly be irrelevant to anyone who cares about whether or not, not just marriage as an institution, but marriages survive? Divorce isn't some concept out there in society that looms like a gas cloud. It actually occurs in real marriages. And it's hard to argue, well, that one diminishes society, but, you know, come on, give him a break. He's the voice of truth in these latter days. No. Are his arguments diminished? No. Rush Limbaugh, we don't know what's going on in his life. For all we know, maybe this is a 10th divorce. The ideas put forth are still valid. If they're valid, they're still valid. If the truth is true, it's still true regardless of who speaks it. I'm talking about your integrity, not so much Rush Limbaugh's integrity. Do you see what that's? This hour has been not so much about Rush's moral authority and integrity. It's about his listeners, about us. You know what I want to do when I heard that Rush Limbaugh first got, when he had this third divorce coming? I wanted to say, like a lot of our listeners have, it's irrelevant. It's just irrelevant because I agree with him. No, it's not irrelevant, whether I agree with him or not. We'll be right back to talk about the Gnostic Gospels.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.